Lovely to see you all gathered in this morning. I was just sitting there on my own earlier there in just a wee moment of silence, and then you hear all the flood of voices coming in and you feel the pressure coming on a wee bit more if that were possible. But it's a great joy to see you here this morning. It's a great privilege for me to come and open up the Word of God before you, and for those who are tuning in on the internet, we're glad to see you. Don't adjust your sets. This is as tall as I get. And I know you're tuned in to Ballymena, and mine maybe don't have that accent, but you are in the right place. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Job. We're going to the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 1. Take time to read the Word of God down to the conclusion of the first chapter. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am and consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Amen. And may the Lord bless even the reading of his word to our own hearts this morning. We'll just bow in a moment's prayer and seek the help of God. Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for this time that thou hast set aside, time wherein we can draw aside from the daily chores of life and find rest in thee, find comfort and promise in thy word. And so, O God, as our heads are bowed before thee, we pray that thou wouldst outpour us a blessing from heaven. We pray, O God, that the Spirit would come down, that the word of God would be ministered, that it might be as the bread cast upon the waters. O God, come and do thy work. Come and undertake for us. Lord, we lean hard on thee. We pray, O God, as we open our mouths, that thou would fill it. We pray, O God, that we might be hidden behind the cross, that none might be seen save Jesus only. So, Father, bless us now as we wait on before thee. Encourage our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The book of Job is, of course, a familiar story. It's in Scripture for our teaching. It has been preserved of God for our instruction, that we might learn and know. Even through the very depths of tragedy, we see how God can preserve and help us prevail. I don't want to preach as such this morning, but I would rather walk with you through the Word, as it were, just go through the cornfields of God's word and glean a few thoughts together. And I trust that God would bless them to our hearts. The beginning of the book tells us about the man called Job. We're not told anything of his upbringing. We're not told anything of his young life. We know he's on in years. He has a well-grown family. He has much substance. He's extremely wealthy. From the outside, the world could look at him and think, Job was doing very, very well in life. One that we might look to today and wish we were more like. God had blessed Job with material goods. He had blessed him with wealth. He had blessed him with family. We see here in the first chapter, the first verse, really a testimony that God has stamped upon Job. It says that the man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed, strange though it is in our modern tongue, it means to abstain or deliberately avoid. There is no point in us praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, and then going and walking into that place where we find ourselves tempted. We need to take responsibility for our actions. Job was one who consciously avoided sin, consciously tried to avoid places of wickedness and evil. And so he was given that testimony of the Lord that he was one that feared God and would abstain from sin, avoid all appearance of it. And that may God bless to us and help us to live with those thoughts in our mind. To say that he feared God, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And we, as God's children, while we say we fear God, our fear is reverential. We fear in the awesomeness of God, his true holiness. We love him with our hearts as the grace that he has given us to do. But we stand in holy reverence of his power, of his holiness, of his grace, of his mercy, and of his judgment. Job's life, as we say, looked a perfect picture. But we're given a glimpse behind the scenes. We're shown things that Job did not know. We're shown things that Job, even at the very end of his trial, did not know. Job did not find out until he crossed into eternity just what had went on in those days. So yes, the testimony of Job was clear. It was a testimony that we should aspire to. Perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. In the verse 6, we see the beginnings of the trial of Job. We're told there that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. This is a portion of Scripture I have to confess I find very difficult to get my head around. To think that Satan could come before the presence of God and even utter a single word. But yet this is what we are told has happened. And it was the Lord that said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And you know, there's great doctrine and teaching for us here to hold on to and to take as anchor points in our life. Christian, it's very important that you nail down certain doctrines and teachings of Scripture in your life. For when the storms and trials of life come, you need a fixed point that you can come back to. And there are things that the Bible teaches very clearly, and sometimes they're very subtle, but they're there. And here we are told that the devil came from going to and fro throughout the earth. That tells us very clearly that the devil is not like God. God is omnipresent. God is in all places, at all times, at once. It is not so with Satan. He comes from one place to another. Our God is everywhere. The Lord asked Satan a question. Hast thou considered my servant Job? The devil gave his answer, but the Lord is all-knowing. The Lord knows your thoughts. The Lord knows your hearts. The Lord knows your circumstances. He knows the adversities that face you. He knows what tomorrow will bring. And when tomorrow comes and it doesn't bring the happiness and joy that we thought it might, we need to be able to rest on the eternal providence of God. We need to trust His sovereignty. We could think back to the start of the COVID crisis, and for many, we've all different experiences of how we've came through it and what it meant and so forth. I can speak personally just in terms of owning my own business. I had orders that were to go out, and day after day, they were just cancelled and cancelled and cancelled and cancelled. And the thought entered my head, I am going to be ruined. And yet, with that thought, all I could do was look to the Lord and rest in His sovereignty, knowing that He will never see the righteous forsaken or His seed begging bread. And we trust in His grace, and He has brought us through it even to this day. So we thank Him for that. We can rest on these doctrines. These doctrines form an anchor in the storm. And the storm that Job was to go through was to be unlike nothing that anyone could ever experience. I know as I look out upon your faces, and some of you I know well, some of you I know not so well, and I'm sure we could share experiences in life that, well, they haven't been great times. They've certainly been times of trial and times of testing, and you've come through them. And some of you have experienced great sorrow. And we can speak to the loss of loved ones and the heartbreak that that brings. And some of you have yet to experience that. But when that day comes, you need to hold on to the fact that you can know that my Redeemer liveth. And He will see you through. He will carry you through. His grace will be sufficient for that day. But you need to hide these truths in your heart. And it's great to see some young people in, and it's great young in your days to get anchored in the Word of God, to hold fast that which is true. This trial that came, it really originated. This is where we need to take a moment to consider, as we consider Job, this trial originated from the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? This wasn't Satan coming to wanting to attack Job. The Lord brought Job into this conversation, brought him to the attention of Satan. And you say, why? Because God is good. His purposes are pure and true. And I cannot fully understand why the Lord would do this. If I was in Job's position, we would question, why me? What have I done to deserve this? Why is this coming upon me? But all things work together for good, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Not just the good things, all things. And God has used the trial of Job down through the years to help and bless and encourage those who have to weather the greatest of storms. It has been for His glory that Job was put on trial. It has been to a testimony to the grace of God that Job was put on trial. The Lord says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, one who fears God and eschews evil." Young person, fear God, abstain from evil, turn from sin. Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your heart right before him. Hide his word there that it might keep you from sin. The tragedy that befell Job from verse 13 onwards is unlike any tragedy that we could imagine. The trial that fell on Job would be enough to make you despair of living. But yet, Job kept his faith. Job kept strong in what the trial was before him. He knew that God was in control. Verses 13 to 19 give the particulars of the account of Job's trouble. They all come upon him at once. While one messenger was bringing the evil tidings, another one came to speak over him. And before he had told his story, a third and a fourth, and immediately, this was as Satan had just unleashed all his ferocity against that believer at once. And yet Job stood in that trial in perfect submission and obedience to the word of God. We're familiar, of course, with Job's friends as we talk about that came to comfort him. But I think perhaps one of the biggest hurts to Job may have been that of his wife when she told him to curse God and to die, and he told her to stop speaking as one that was foolish. That is to say, this wasn't a foolish woman. And I don't want to just single out as being the wife. I think that as we look at the marital relationship between husband and wife, both are to be a blessing and an encouragement and an help to one another. And although in this case it was the wife that was out of step with the Lord, it could so easily have been the other way round. And I would urge you as husbands to be an encourager to your wife, and wives, encourage your husbands, that you might love one another and so fulfill the law of God. Job, in the very depths of this trial, was anchored in the truth of the sovereignty of God, knowing that he had a Redeemer, knowing that he was in the hands of a loving and caring God, yet not understanding the trial that he was going through. He acknowledged the hand of God both in the mercies he had formerly enjoyed and in the afflictions that were now pressed upon him. For he says the words, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." We must own the circumstances that we find ourselves in daily. We must look for the path that God would have us to take. And while the world looked at Job, they would see a man that God was judging. They would see a man that God was punishing. The opposite was true. They would see that what they couldn't see, that Job was the man in the center of God's will. Job was the man being sustained by divine grace. Job was the man who, in the midst of darkness, was looking away to the place of hope, the place of light, the place called Calvary. Job knew of his Redeemer. His heart was settled, even in the midst of all the trouble. Christian, I don't know what tomorrow will bring for you. I don't know what it will bring for me. But we can rest on the truth that it was ordered by the divine and sovereign will and purpose and mercy of God for our good. You and I may come under God's chastisement, but we will not be under God's judgment. Christ endured that for us at Calvary. The price has been paid. It is settled in full. And it's the easiest thing to think in life when things are going wrong, and it's why me, Lord, and our heads are down. No. We just need to trust God to see us through, to see his name honoured and glorified. You know, I've met some of the loveliest people in my life. I enjoy people. I'm a people person, so I get great comfort from meeting people, from chatting to them, from getting to know them, from building friendships. And there was one person I met one day, and they'd professed to be a Christian younger in life. And from chatting to them, they'd certainly gone on with the Lord for many, many years. And for whatever circumstances, they've fallen away. And they said, you know, I'm not a Christian anymore. If I died today, I wouldn't be going to heaven. I have to say that struck my heart like a dagger. For while that person may not be living as God would have them live, those who have came to Christ, those who have had their sins forgiven, are loved with an eternal love. It is a bond that we cannot break. It is a promise given by Almighty God. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied therewith. All that is given to Christ, of them not one shall be lost. You know, I think of the words of that hymn, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep which was lost. Beloved, the book of Job gives us an insight into heavenly things, into sacred things. You and I, brethren, can rest today knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, never to be deleted, never to be rubbed out, never to be taken away. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Yes, Job's testimony was pure. Job's trial and Job's tragedy were awful things to endure. But if you read with me at the end of chapter 1, we see Job's trust overcame. Chapter 21, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Beloved, the Lord gives us grace. It was grace that saved us. It is grace that keeps us. It is grace that leads us to pray. It is grace that brings us to the Word. And there is a phrase, and I would like you to take it to heart and to understand it and to learn more of it. And I challenge myself with this. There are things called means of grace. And by that, I mean they are channels. There are different channels that you may bring grace to your soul. You may bring grace to your soul by reading the Word of God. You may bring grace to your soul by taking time to pray. You may bring grace to your soul by getting yourself in the right company, surrounding yourself by the right people, that they might be a blessing to you. But there is a responsibility upon you to seek out those means. God has provided them for your good, for your benefit. They're here in the church. Our brethren that we have that minister the word, the elders, the deacons, they're here as a means of grace for your soul. And I would urge you this morning to avail of them. Because there are days coming when you will need good people around you. You will need to know you have friends at your back. You need to know that you have people praying for you. And you know, even as I come here and speak this morning, it's not a common thing for me by any stretch. It's a challenge. It's a difficult thing to do. There's pressure with it. You feel the enormity of the task. You feel your own inferiority. But yet behind me, there are encouragers in this church. There are those of you who have been praying. There was a text came through this morning. There was brethren as I was leaving the church last week. You know, it's good to be an encourager in the work. It's good to help those who are put before you. And I would urge you this morning, for our brethren here in the church, take extra time for them in prayer. Don't be afraid to go up and pat them on the back and give them that word of encouragement. Don't be as Job's comforters, but rather be one seasoned with grace. Have understanding in the word. Rightly divide the word of truth and become a blessing to those round about you. And may we say as Job said, may we know as Job knew, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I pray this morning that God would bless his word to our hearts, that our hearts would be prepared for worship this morning, and that none might be seen save of Jesus only. We'll close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee once again for the open book that's been before us this morning. And Lord, as we seek to go out into the outer temple for worship, Lord, we pray that your spirit would abide there, that you would come upon our brother this morning as he would open the word. Lord, that you would anoint him, you would touch his lips with that live coal from off the altar. Father, we pray that thou wouldst take what has been glorifying to thee, bless it to the hearts of thy saints, and may the rest, O God, just be burned up with the dross. O Lord, bless thy work in the days that lie ahead. Bless the brethren here, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.